And that's what Jesus was doing here when he declared the seven I Am's. He was telling us about himself. He was declaring unto us who he was and what his personality is and what his character traits were and what he should mean and what he is to us as believers. So this morning, as we look at John chapter number 10, of course, we want to take this in context. And so we want to look, first of all, at the passage on the door, the passage that we have here on the door. In context, Jesus was talking to the Jews in this ongoing conversation about who he was, as he declared to them over and over again, the I Am's that we're looking at this morning. But he said in John chapter 9, let's back up to John chapter number 9 and verse number 5. And we talked about this at the conclusion of last week, because it is the miracle in which God performed to seal the statement that I am the light of the world. John chapter 9 and verse number 5. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am what? The light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. So Jesus, as a declaration of who he was, gave the ability to this blind man to see light for the first time. If you read the text, you find out that this blind man did not get blind later in life. He didn't wasn't involved in an accident. He didn't fall on his head at some point. No, he was blind from his birth. And quite possibly the first time he ever beheld light was when Jesus gave him that ability. And Jesus sealed that statement, I am the light of the world, by declaring or performing this great miracle. Well, that created an uproar. That created a stir among the Jews. They said, whoa, who is this man that can give blind men their sight? Look at verse number 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. A man that is called Jesus. You know, this blind man didn't understand how it happened. He didn't know what it meant. He couldn't explain the theological difference or the fundamental doctrine or how that had happened and explain the scientific things in the background. But he just knew a man named Jesus. A man named Jesus anointed my eyes, and I was blind, and now I see. And they said, well, who is this man? And they began to ask in verse number 12. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. And there was continued discussion. The Pharisees there, they said, well, let's go talk to this boy's parents. I don't think this is the same boy. And they went and talked to the parents, and the parents, because they knew what they were trying to do, and they actually could get kicked out of the synagogue if they did, if these Pharisees didn't like their answer. And so the parents played it safe, and they said, hey, he's a grown man. If you want to know what happened, ask him. So they put it back on the boy. They went back to the boy again, and they talked some more. Again, the Pharisees all trying to find out who is or where is this man that can give blind men their sight. In verse number 25, again, they were asking, and he answered, and he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. You see, the discussion became, well, if he's a sinner, he couldn't give blind men their sight. Well, if he's not a sinner, then he's a prophet. And if he's a prophet, we have to recognize his authority, and they didn't want to do that. And so they were trying to declare him to be a sinner, and the blind man says, he answered, and he said, whether he be a sinner, I know not. I know not. But one thing I know, I was blind, and now I see. I can't answer the questions you're asking me, but I can tell you I was blind, and now I see. And they continued to ask him, look at verse number 29. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And they continued to talk among themselves. Ultimately, they didn't like the blind man's answers. Look down in verse number 34, I think. They answered and they said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? In verses 30 through 33, he's talking to them about how in the world could this blind man, if he's just a sinner, if he's not a prophet, how could he heal blind men? And he's explaining that to them. And they said, oh, who are you to teach us? You're just a sinner. and they kicked him out of the synagogue. Look at verse number 34 there. He says, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now that's important, because when we see this in context, you're going to see the difference between Jesus Christ, who is the door, and this group of false teachers here. And Jesus, when he had heard that he had been cast out, when he had went and found him, and he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now, I've told you before, when we were studying the parables, that a parable typically taught was an answer to a question or an answer to a problem that had arisen. So the Pharisees here were asking about who is Jesus, who is this man, and they were digging into that, trying to find that out. And Jesus answers that question for them in the parable that he gives here on the door, and he says, I am the door. Now, the first six verses here talk to us about the relationship of a true shepherd. Follow along with me and as I read the first six verses of our text this morning. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door of the sheep, shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will follow from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. He's talking about the relationship that they can have with Jesus Christ, with the door. I am the door. He is the true shepherd. He is the true door. Jesus came unto the children of Israel, to the Jewish people, by the correct way, exactly like the prophet said he was going to come. You see, he came the way that God, that was planned. He didn't come up over the wall. He didn't sneak in the back door. He came directly as he was supposed to come, and when the time was fulfilled, and they should have recognized that he was the true shepherd. A true shepherd is known by the sheep. The sheep know the shepherd. They know his voice, and they follow him. Again, establishing the relationship that's available unto all. And then we see the reality of the fact that he said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the door. In verses 7 through 10, let's finish reading this. He says, then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Look at verse number 1. Look at the difference between these statements where he says here. He says in verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He's talking there about the sheepfold, the door to the sheepfold. Now in verse number 7, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Okay, this is important. I'm going to point it out here in a second. In verse number 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, and he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The third I am the door there is the door of salvation. So there, according to one of the, I think it was Arthur Pink that stated this, there's three doors described here, three different doors. The first door is the door to the sheepfold. In context, that's talking about Israel, about the Jewish people, that Jesus came as he was prophesied to, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came into the sheepfold just as he was supposed to. Then you have the door of the sheep. This is the door that leads people out of their present fold. For in context, that would be out of Judaism, out from under the law, unto grace, unto Jesus Christ, gave them the way to get out. And many did not see it. Then you have the door of salvation that was extended and given to all. This door speaks of liberty. It speaks of eternity. It speaks of the pastures that God given us. It is a door that gives us position, a sure position with Jesus Christ. It gives us actually prosperity as it talks about the abundant life that's available to us. It gives us green pastures that we get to enjoy. And that's a picture of peace that we have in Jesus Christ. That is the context, the passage here on the door. Now I want to think about or consider the idea, the picture that the door is for us. There's lots of things as we consider or think about the fact that Jesus is the door that is applicable and that is good for us to understand with regards to this. And first of all, a door is a partition. A door is a partition. Our position in relation to any door is a declaration to whether we are in or out. I mean, either you're in the building or you're out of the building. And your position in relation to the door is the defining factor. If you're standing out front and you want to come in the building, you pass through the door. You get into the building. And now you're in the building. You know, the children sing the song, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, and which side are you? Either you're on the inside or the outside. You see, the door is a partition. It's a defining characteristic, and either you're on the inside or you're on the outside. Jesus is the door. He said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. He is the door, and he extends salvation to all. It's the entrance to eternal life. The difference between eternal life or eternal condemnation. The difference between peace and turmoil. Either you're in or you're out. There's no halfway. And by the way, there has to be a day, a place, an hour, some time where you went through the door. It can't just be, oh, well, I've always been saved. You wouldn't just say, oh, well, I've always been at Walmart. No, I mean, you went to Walmart. You went through the door. I mean, you went there. You there was a day where you passed through the door, and you passed through the door of Jesus Christ to an eternity of peace and salvation through him. There has to be a day of salvation. It's a partition. Not only is it a partition, but a door is a passageway. It's a passageway that gives us entrance into something. If you want to take part in, if you want to, let's say, for instance, this morning, you wanted to come and have and take part in the manna from heaven that's on the table back here, Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I don't know if there's manna from heaven, but that, you wanted to have some donuts and you wanted to partake of the donuts here. You got to pass through the door. You got to come in to partake of the donuts. And there's lots of things as Christians that Jesus is the door and he's the passageway. He's the entrance to give us access to many things. You go through the door and it gives you access to many things. You know, why is it that even a undersized young man will carry his bride across the threshold? Because there's some superstition that if she were to accidentally or somehow trip or stumble on the threshold, she would forever bring bad luck to their home. And so they must pick her up and carry her across the threshold, because if she were to stumble, she would bring bad luck to the home. You know, there's no way that we could get through the door on our own. Jesus is the door, and by him we're carried across the threshold. Many people try and get through the door on their own and they just stumble. They've been stumbling for a long time and they just need to accept the door, accept Jesus Christ, and they can get through the door. Jesus is the door we go through, and it gives us access to forgiveness. You know, there's no other way to get it. You can work and you can do penance and you can even do self-afflicted pain to try and earn or pay for your sin. But Jesus paid for it for us. And all we have to do is accept that. When we accept him, go through that door, we get that forgiveness. Forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Forgiveness for our sins from him. He gives us forgiveness. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, "You can knock at 1,000 doors. You can pry, you can cry and you can pray and you can groan and you can agonize even to sweat drops of blood. But there is only one door to heaven, and that is the door of faith in Jesus Christ. If ye will not enter by that door, God himself will not open another." Jesus is the door, and God has provided the way, and he's given the door for anybody who is willing to accept it. You could try 1,000 other doors and do it to no avail, because Jesus is the door. He is the only way. The door to heaven swings on the hinges of faith. Jesus is the door we go through that gives us forgiveness, but it also is the door we go through that gives us fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship with the Father. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." You know, there was a time when only the high priest had access to the Father. Only then on special occasions where he could clean himself and wash and get pure and then walk in and get into the glory of God. But you and I have the Holy Spirit, once you've trusted Christ, living in you, and we are told to come boldly to the throne of grace. We can fellowship with God himself because we've gone through the door and we have access to God because of what Jesus did for us. We get fellowship because of Jesus. Not only that, is the access to fulfillment in this life. He says, "I've come that you might have life, but not just that you'd have life, but that you would have it," what? Abundant life. We get fulfillment in this life because of Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs with God through Jesus Christ. We have victory over sin through Jesus Christ. We have victory over worry through Jesus Christ. We even have victory over our own inabilities. You say, "Man, I just can't do that. I don't have the strength," or "I just don't know how to do that." I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We get victory over our own shortcomings through Jesus Christ. When you accept the door and you go through that door, you get access to a lot as a believer. And I don't have this morning time to even give you all that you have, but not only is a door a partition, not only is it a passageway that gives us access, but it's also a protection. A door represents or gives us protection from the outside. Every night, we finish family devotions, and Mary says, "Andrew, go around and lock the doors, please." She wants the doors locked. I mean, when I leave the house, I better not forget anything, because I'll leave the house, I'll go to the car, get in the car, I'm like, "Oh, I forgot my Mountain Dew," and I'll get up and go back, and the front door is already locked. I'm like, "Are you serious?" You know, now we have the nice little codes, I can put the code in and get inside. I said, "I've been gone like a minute and a half, and you've locked the door already." The door, it offers some protection. And Jesus himself said, "I am the door." Now, I know that you all know this, and you've studied this, or you've seen this taught before in the past. But in the days of old, the shepherd would go out, and he would take his sheep out into a green pasture, and it would get on to dusk, and he would say, "Oh, time to go back," and he would call the sheep in, and he would bring them into the fold. They would all get in the fold, and it would get on dark, and the shepherd would sit down next to a rock in front of the door, the passageway in and out of the fold. The shepherd became the door. They would build 10-foot-high rock walls around the sheepfold so nothing else could get in, no other animals. And the shepherd himself, at risk of his own life, would give his own life freely for the sheep, would lay down in front of the door, and he might nod off, but if anybody was going to get in, it was going to be over the shepherd. Jesus is the door. He gives us protection. We can endure, we can last, we can go through. Not one hair of your head is going to fall without God knowing it. He offers protection to us as believers. Not only that, the Holy Spirit stands watch. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit stands watch. Jesus himself is the door, and he offers protection. Nothing's going to get in unless it comes over or through him. And the Holy Spirit is standing guard. Not only is a door a place of protection, but a door is also a representation of the possibilities, of the opportunities that are out there. Would you like what's behind door number one, door number two, or door number three? What are we saying? What are the possibilities behind door number one? There is a brand new car. Behind number two, there is a bag of trash. Behind door number three, there's a dream vacation. The possibilities. We look at a door as opportunity. We look at a door as possibilities. Even Paul said there was a door opened unto me. And he had to go through it. We use the statement, well, God opened the door. I had to. God made the way. Or God closed the door. So a closed door represents missed opportunities. The doors that God opens for us, opportunities that we can take advantage of or that we can miss. And through the scriptures, there's several times that people missed the opportunity. They missed the door that was opened unto them. I think of Noah when he built the ark and God left the door open. He put Noah and his family in the ark, and for 7 days the door sat open. But then once the door was closed, the opportunity to be saved was passed. They could no longer take advantage of that opportunity that was extended to them. The rain began to fall, and they're like, oh man, Noah knew what he was talking about. Come on, guys, let's go find Noah. And they wanted to get into the boat, but it was too late. The opportunity had passed. The door was shut. You know, I want you to see this passage. Turn over in Luke. Luke chapter number 13, just back a little bit. In Luke chapter 13, verse number 23, there's another door talked about here. Luke 13, verse number 23, he says, then said one unto the Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have entered and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen to this last phrase here. When ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. Because the door was closed. The door of opportunity, the door of salvation, Jesus is declaring to all, I am the door. All you have to do is accept it. The last thing I want you to see is the promise of the door. The promise of the door. It is a reality. Jesus is the door, and it's a door to everybody. It's open and extended unto all. He said, I am the door. Picture with me, if you would, somebody along a long wall. And they're trying to find a way. They're there. They've got this long wall, and you can hear what's happening on the other side. You can hear there's lots of joy and excitement, and there's something of great importance happening on the other side. And you think, man, I would like to get over there. And so you begin to search along this wall for a door, and you begin to look for this door, and you're looking all over for a door. You're searching for a way to get to where there's joy, to where there's peace, to where there's excitement, to where there's fulfillment. You're searching for that. And understand, Christian believer, the world, there's many in the world today that are searching. They're searching everywhere. They're trying everything they can to find a way to get to that place of peace. They're looking for what we know is the door. But you see, Jesus is not playing hide and seek with the door. He's not moving it on them. He declared openly, I am the door. But too many people are wanting to try and find their own way. They're wanting to try and climb over the wall. They're wanting to work extra hard and earn their way into or through the door. But Jesus said, I am the door, and there's no other way. There's a new type of entertainment. I don't know how many of you heard about this, but it's called escape rooms. And you can pay some money to get locked into a room for an hour. Doesn't that sound like fun? What do you think, Bob? Let's lock them in for an hour. And you get an hour to try and find the way to escape. Yeah. So you're still looking for the key, huh, Carol? In these rooms, there's clues that you have to find, and the clue leads to another clue, and that clue leads to a clue, which ultimately leads to a button that releases the door, or a lock, or a key that you find, and then the key opens the door, and the goal is to find your way out before the hour's up. Well, Jesus Christ is not playing an escape room with you. He's declared to the world, I am the door. All that people have to do is accept it. But one day, the door is going to be closed. And they're going to say, but we went to church. But we sat with you. We worshiped with you. We sang your songs. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Why? Because it's not about what you did. It's about what he has done. And there's got to be a day that you accept the door, that you go through the door of salvation. Jesus Christ says clearly, I am the door. The scope of this is amazing, because he said, if any man, it includes all, red, yellow, black and white, short, tall, skinny, fat, American, Asian, Chinese, Mexican, all, if any man enter, if any man, and the steps of it, if any man enter, there's just got to be a time where you pass through the door. It's like if you wanted to get into this building, there's times that I've come over here from the house, not as inconvenient now as it was when I lived in Pennsylvania, but I forgot my keys. And I'm searching the whole building hoping somebody left one door unlocked, because I'm not getting in unless there's a door open. And I'm looking all, there's lots of doors into this building. I look around the whole building and hope somebody didn't quite latch one or something. Now, it's supposed to be locked up, right, Joe? He's our security guy. But sometimes, maybe somebody left one open. Well, Jesus left the door open. And he's declared it, I am the door. All you got to do is accept him. He is the way. And if any man enter in, you just got to go through. And the supply of it is never ending. It's inexhaustible. He said, they shall be saved. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Not, okay, we'll start your 10-week program and see if you can achieve the level of perfection that we need for you to be part of. No. If you accept the door, you shall be saved. You enter in and you get salvation from him. Not maybe. Not if you get baptized or you do a particular level of things afterwards. It's a free gift of salvation that God extends to all. It's exciting. Jesus was speaking to the lost when he said, I am the door. But do you know what, Christian? He was also talking to you and I when he said, I came that you might have life, but that you might have it more abundantly. You see, he wants to give us life. And if you're here today and you say, oh, I've gone through the door and I have that joy that you're talking about, I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, no question about it, I've gone through the door, amen? But let me ask you, are you living the abundant life? You see, because that is the door for the believer. We can choose to get saved, and then just the Bible talks to about those that are saved, so as by fire. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you have not experienced and don't know the joy of the abundant life, because the fact of the matter is, as Christians, we're supposed to be second mile Christians. There is no joy for the believer sitting at the starting line. You say, well, I'm saved and I just don't understand what all this joy is. I don't know what all these people are talking about, all this excitement and these things. It doesn't make sense to me. But you never got off the starting line. You've never entered the race. You've never just jumped in. You know, like getting in the pool. You got saved, but you're just trying to try Christianity out. You know, just, oh, that seems like maybe just jump in. The water's great. And you can experience and know the abundant life. And that's what God wants for you. If you're struggling and saying, man, this Christian life is just so hard, or this Christian life is so depressing or whatever. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. Anything worth having takes effort. But I can tell you that it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. Without a doubt, without question, without hesitation, I'll declare emphatically to you it's worth the effort. And if you're sitting on the sidelines trying to decide, let me just encourage you. God came that you would have life, but that you would have it more abundantly. He wants you to have an experience and know the abundant life that comes through a continued walk and a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. He's your shepherd. The sheep know my voice. And they, what? Follow. Follow. That's how you have the abundant life. You follow. Are you following the Savior, your shepherd? Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for today and the joy that is ours to know the door. Lord, there's so many in the world who have never one time heard the message of the gospel. They've never one time heard about Jesus and that he came and he died for them. They don't even know where the door is. Lord, we're so blessed. We thank you that we have the privilege of knowing the door. And I pray, God, you would help us to continue to follow you, to experience and know the joy that can be ours, the abundant life that can be ours as believers. If there's one here that doesn't know the door, one here that is not sure of that salvation that we talked about this morning, I pray, God, that they would not leave here without getting that settled. Lord, may they go through the door today, have a day of salvation, and we'll thank you for it. Be with us as we go into the morning service. Bless our time together. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.